Let's pray as we prepare our hearts for God's word this morning. Father, I thank you for your precious word, that it is alive and powerful. Lord, that there is life-changing power in your word. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would help me to share it exactly as you would have me to. Lord, that you accomplish what you please through this word. Lord, that it'll prosper in the thing for which you have sent it. And Father, that our hearts might be open and receptive to your word, that we might truly believe and obey in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 What if there was a simple way that you could just be closer to God? What if there was a way that you could just not worry anymore and just be stress-free and have peace in your heart and in your mind? What if you could have the blessings of God on your life every day? What if you could see more of the promises of God fulfilled in your life? What if you could experience miracles in your life and see God really move and work in your life in a greater measure? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? The message this morning is just simply titled, Faith Believes. And we're beginning a series today on faith, something that we need more of, church. Something that the body of Christ needs today. Seems like that a lot of people, the only time they use their faith is when they're backed in a corner and they don't even know where it is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're scrambling around trying to figure out what to do when trouble comes in their life. But it shouldn't be that way. No, instead, our faith should be something that we are living and experiencing each and every day. Now, the title of the message this morning is kind of redundant. I mean, at least it is to me, Faith Believes. But there's a reason that I've titled it that way because, well, faith is simple. We make it real complicated sometimes, but let me tell you, it is as simple as this. It is as simple as believing. Faith is a, the word faith is a noun. It's something that we are supposed to have. And to believe, that's a verb, and it's something that we're supposed to do. It's what we do with our faith. We believe. And I'm telling you, church, this is something that'll really change your life. It's something that we ought to be growing in and learning more about and experiencing in a greater measure in our life. So, what's the big deal about faith? And you need to understand just how big of a deal it really is. And some of you are wondering right now, is this guy one of those faith preachers? Yes, I am a faith preacher just like Jesus. Jesus started all this stuff. Read your Bible. He said, have faith in God. The Apostle Paul said, the word of faith which we preach. There's a whole lot of doubt preachers out there. And I'm talking about my brothers in the Lord who stand in the pulpit. They're declaring doubt to people. We need people to preach the Bible. We need people who will stand up and preach what Jesus did. Tell people the same kinds of things that Jesus did. Jesus was a faith preacher. Listen, if having faith and preaching the Bible makes me a faith preacher, then yes, I'm a faith preacher. People are forever trying to put labels on people, and I'm not trying to label myself this morning, because I can assure you the only label I want is that I preach the Bible and I obey the Lord, what he wants me to do. And I want to preach and teach like Jesus, but I'm telling you that faith is a big deal. Why is it so important? Well, let's just back up here and let's just think about this. You can't even be saved without faith. You can't be forgiven without faith. You can't earn your forgiveness. You can't be good. You can't pay a price for it. The only way you can be forgiven is by the blood of Jesus. It is faith in what he has done for you. That's the only way. You can't have a relationship with God without faith. And you can't go to heaven without faith. Oh, well, they were a good person. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No, doesn't matter. You can tell me how horrible this person was, how good this person was. Neither will get to heaven without faith. How important is faith? It's by grace you've been saved, through faith. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's how important faith is. Listen, who's going to go to heaven? Just people that believe. That's all. They're the only ones that are going to make it. People that believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's the only way. It's faith. You know, as a believer, you need to know this, that you can't even begin to please God in your life without faith. I know that because Hebrews 11:6. Now, I'm just going to throw a lot of scripture out this morning, and if you want to check these all out, you're going to have to just jot down the references or get the tape, or tape, the CD, and listen to it later and go over them again, because I'm going to fly, all right? But Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. There's no way that you can please God. Listen, God's not happy with unbelief. If we're going to please him, it's because we have faith. So many problems in our world right now, so much trouble going on. It's by faith that we overcome the world. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Listen, you don't need to fear. You don't need to worry about the trouble in this world. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Some people, they're like, well, I live in a real world. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. They think that faith is a joke. I'm telling you, this is real. If we'll have faith, God will take care of us. What do you think your worry and fear will accomplish besides getting old in an early grave? Jesus said it won't add one thing to you. But if we'll have faith, our Father will take care of us. Listen, we don't even have to fear Satan himself. Not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of all the demons of hell. Ephesians 6:16 says that we have the shield of faith with which we can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Whatever he can throw at you, the shield of faith will defend you. It will protect you. What's the big deal about faith? Satan can't touch you when you have faith. Well, that's shouting ground. Listen, we ought to be excited about the truth that if we'll just have faith, we don't have to fear the enemy at all. Jesus said in Luke 10:19 that we have power, authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, I don't believe that. It's not for you. It's for believers. It's for people that believe the Bible. Why is faith so important? Listen, Jesus acted like it was a big deal. It's Mark 11:22 where he says, have faith in God. And over throughout his ministry, as Jesus was healing people, setting people free, all kinds of miracles were happening, he said things like, according to your faith, let it be to you. Hear me now. The religious world doesn't like that because they don't want any of the responsibility for their own life. They want to put all of the blame on God and say, well, I don't know why God doesn't do something about the things in our world. I don't know why God doesn't do something about my situation. According to your faith. Now see, you can get mad at me if you want to, but I got to tell you, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. See, preachers said things like this today. Well, people would throw rocks at them. Your faith has made you well. Great is your faith. So let it be done for you. If you can believe, all things are possible. See, over and over, Jesus put the responsibility back on us to believe. To have faith in God and believe. Listen, faith is how you receive miracles and blessings from God. I know that there is a measure of the blessing of God on everybody. He makes the sun to rise on the good and the evil. But I also know there are thousands of promises, thousands of blessings available to us in the Word of God that most people don't experience in their life for the simple reason that they don't believe. Faith is how you receive those promises, those blessings in your life. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there's a whole world of promises and blessings that just came available to us. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. See, if we just say amen, if we just get in agreement with God's word, he says, all the promises of God in Jesus, the answer is yes. It's available to us. But you have to believe that those promises are for you. The promises of God have to be appropriated by faith. That's the way that he works. The sovereign God of the universe who does whatever he pleases, it pleases him to work this way. That when people believe, see, without faith, it's impossible to please him. When people believe, he responds. He moves when people will, in faith, pray and act and speak. God moves. He's chosen to work that way. That's the way he works. You want to be close to God? Hebrews 10:22 tells us that we draw near to him in full assurance of faith. You can't really get close to God with fear and doubt and unbelief. No, it takes faith. You want to live without fear and doubt and worry in your life? Listen, if we just believe, we don't have to fear. We can have peace in our life. In Matthew chapter 6, 28 through 33, Jesus is talking about people who were fearful. And he keeps telling them, don't worry. Don't worry. And then he says, oh, you of little faith. What's the problem here? Why are they always worried? Because they got little faith. I'm telling you to help you this morning. I'm telling you out of love this morning. If you are always worrying, you have little faith. It doesn't have to be that way. Say, oh no, I'm worrying. I'm always worrying because I got lots to worry about. You got lots that you need to turn over to God. There's lots of things that you need to believe God for instead of allowing yourself to live in worry and fear. Faith is the key to receiving miracles and seeing God move in our situation. Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to read 6 through 9. I want you to see that the blessings of God come on those who have faith. You want to have more of the blessings of God in your life? Here it is. Galatians 3, 6 through 9 tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, how did Abraham become the friend of God? How was he ever righteous? I mean, have you read Genesis and seen some of the things that Abraham did? He wasn't perfect. But because he believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, In you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. The NIV says, those who have faith are blessed. You want to be blessed? Here's how. You just need to have faith. You just need to believe God more. Talked about this a few minutes ago, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. Why is faith such a big deal? Well, think about it this way. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So I want to turn this into a negative thing right now, all right? When we don't have faith, we can't please him. Unbelief displeases the Lord. He doesn't like it when we have unbelief. It's like telling God that he's a liar. When God says something in his word and we don't believe it, how would you like to have a friend who, when you tell them something, they just say, well, I don't believe that. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, if you lie all the time, that might be okay with you. But if you tell the truth and your friend says, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe it happened that way. I don't believe what you said. You say you're going to do that, but I don't believe you. How do you think the Lord feels when people don't believe what he says? I got to tell you something this morning. We were created in his image. But there are some ways that he is not like us. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. He's not like us. The Bible also says God, who cannot lie, he cannot lie. He's not like us. What he says is exactly the way it is. Where the rub is, where the problem is whether or not we can believe God's word, whether or not we will just take him at his word, or if we'll continue on in unbelief like the world around us. Unbelief keeps great miracles from happening. When Jesus ministered in Nazareth, the Bible tells us in Matthew 13:58, he did no mighty miracles there, or not many mighty miracles there, because of their unbelief. Why didn't he do it? Because of their unbelief. Why don't we see more mighty miracles? Because of unbelief. It hasn't changed. It's because of unbelief. You know, the amazing thing is that this was his hometown. They were familiar with Jesus. I mean, they knew him. And because of that familiarity, there was a lot of unbelief. It's the same in our culture today. A lot of the time, people don't believe because, you know what? They just gotten calloused. They hear the word preached on healing. They hear the word preach on divine protection, and it doesn't, they're so familiar with it, it doesn't stir them anymore. They don't have the faith to really believe God that those words actually mean something. And it's because of their unbelief that they don't see many mighty miracles. Unbelief will limit God working in your life. I got to tell you, I know in my spirit this morning that I am pushing, that with the word of God, I am hammering away at religious tradition and deception of the enemy. Things that have been taught by religious people, I'm telling you, there's a stronghold of unbelief in our world. You say, oh, you can't say that. You're not limiting God by unbelief. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. See, God has a great plan for our life. There are so many promises and blessings that He has for us, but they have to be received by faith. And if we don't receive those things by faith, we will end up being just like the children of Israel, walking around in the wilderness year after year for 40 years. Why? God had something better for them. He had given them a promised land. He had promised it to them. And the walled cities couldn't keep them out. And the giant men of battle couldn't keep them out. Their weakness couldn't keep them out. No, there was nothing that could stop God's plan and purpose, the promise He had made them, except unbelief. They didn't believe Him. And so they died in the wilderness until God raised up a generation who would believe. Psalms 78, 41, and 42. Some of you need to write this one down. Some of you need to mark it in your Bible, because it just goes against the grain of some of the attitudes of religion. Listen. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power the day when He redeemed them from the enemy. I mean, God had brought them miraculously out of the bondage of Egypt, through the Red Sea, parted the sea, and they forgot all about the great miracles that God had done, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, I want you to understand this. God is absolutely sovereign, and nobody can stop Him. He does whatever He pleases. When it says they limited the Holy One of Israel, it means that they limited Him in their life, that because of their unbelief, God did not fulfill what He had promised them. It was their unbelief that did it. I want to say this very clearly. Nobody has power over the Lord. Nobody has authority over Him. It is not that they limited Him, that they stopped God, but they limited Him from working in their life. And it's the same today for us. We limit God when we refuse to believe what He has promised, what He has said in His word. We're limiting Him working in our life. What's the big deal about faith? Wow. Now I want to share with you just for a few minutes, just to clarify some things, and just so we really understand what we're talking about this morning. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 describes it for us. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. I want you to understand this, that faith is not a feeling. A lot of people's faith, they call it faith, is totally based on how they feel. Feeling-based Christianity, feeling-based faith, it won't ever work. It's a roller coaster ride going nowhere. faith is something that's very real. It is the substance. It is the evidence. Listen, when the Bible's talking about substance and evidence, that's something real. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How can we have that kind of faith? Because it is based on God's word. You see, God's word is more real than the things that you see with your natural eye. In fact, the things that you see in this world, every bit of it was spoken into being through the word of God. It is the word of God that created everything you see. And the word of God is more real. We don't need any more evidence to believe than this, God's word. That's all we need. Faith is taking God at his word. It is believing what God has said. Listen, don't ever base your faith on anything else. You don't base your faith just on what a person said. You don't base your faith on tradition or religious teaching. You don't base your faith on the philosophies and the ideas, the attitudes of this generation. You base your faith on the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Listen, people can believe anything. There's people that believe all kinds of nutty stuff. Where do you think all of these crazy religions out there come from? Because people can just believe anything they want to. And Christians a lot of times do their own Christian version of the same thing. They just kind of believe whatever they want to. No, real faith has to be based on the Word of God. If it's based on anything else, it's just fantasy. Faith is believing what God has said. More than positive thinking. Abraham got a word from God. Now, I want you to understand this, that when we say it's believing what God has said, we need to take God at his word, his written word. But God also speaks to us individually. And when God speaks to you, when you get a word from God, then you need to believe it. No matter what it looks like, no matter what happens, no matter how long it takes, you believe what God spoke to you. Now, Abraham, he got one of those kinds of words from God. It wasn't something that had been written before, although now it's written. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Abraham got this word from God, and he believed it. And it was credited to him for righteousness. But Abraham didn't just dream it up. You need to understand this. Abraham didn't just wish it. There's a whole lot of that that happens. Whenever faith is preached, people start perverting the message with fantasy faith. Oh, well, I wish this would happen, so I'm just going to believe for that. No, you got to have a word from God. Whether it's the written word or word that God spoke to you, real faith has to be based on what God has said. It's not fantasy. It's not just dreaming up what you wish. Abraham been wanting children for a long, long, long time. But it wasn't until God spoke to him and gave him a word that he began to believe that it was going to happen. And I'm telling you, our faith has to be based on God's word. It's not just imagining. It's not just wishful thinking or positive thinking. It is believing what God has said. And we need to get to the place where whatever God says, it's good enough. That we walk by faith, not by what we see. That we are believing according to the word of God. That's real faith. And when you see circumstances that are contrary to what you're believing, when you hear reports that are contrary to what you're believing, listen, that's why it's faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen, if you already could see it and you already knew it right here in the natural, well, you don't need any faith for that. But when you can't see it and you can believe it anyway, you see, it takes the Word of God to be able to believe and have that kind of faith. So I want to share with you, just to wrap this message up this morning, how can we have more faith? By the way, I don't want to deceive you. This isn't going to be real fast, okay? I think it's too important. I think we need to get this. So when I say wrap this up, this is the last point, but it's going to be a lot of wrapping, all right? So here we go. How can we have more faith? Well, you can't have real faith, I hope I've made this clear, apart from the Word of God. It's not just deciding to believe something, but our faith always has to be based on God's Word. So the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, faith comes from hearing the message of the gospel. It comes from hearing the promises. It comes from hearing the Word of God. You can hear it once and believe. And you know what? That happens. Especially in cultures that aren't so saturated with the gospel. Sometimes people hear it one time and they believe. Sometimes, because we've been so saturated and inundated with doubt and unbelief, we have to hear it over and over and over and over until it finally gets through. You see, every time you hear the Word, see, when the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, it's not saying that everybody that hears the Word is going to believe. I can assure you that's not the case, and that's not what it's saying at all. In fact, if you read it in context and you read the rest of the passage, you'll see that certainly not everybody believes. But when the Word comes and we hear it, it gives us the opportunity to believe. The problem is that even though we're so saturated with the Word of God, it's all around us. It's so readily available. And yet, most believers don't really even know what the Bible says. George Barna conducted a survey of Christians, and here's what he discovered about their knowledge of the Bible. 48% could not name the four Gospels. Almost 50% couldn't say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Some of you are going, oh, well, I'm better than 48% because I actually knew those. 48% didn't even know the four Gospels. That's amazing to me. 60% can't name five of the Ten Commandments. And these are believers. Believers who never even bother to read the Bible. Believers who have no interest in studying the Bible. Believers who have no clue of the promises that are available to them. A lot of believers, all they know to believe God for is their salvation, to get to go to heaven someday. And that's it. And that's all they ever see, all they ever experience in their life is, well, someday I'm going to heaven. But they don't ever take advantage. They don't believe the promises over and over and over God has made to us through His Word. Promises of peace, promises of joy, promises of healing, promises of deliverance, promises of freedom, promises of victory. Promises of prosperity and provision, all kinds of promises that He's made to us, and they have no idea. You can't believe the promises if you don't know the promises. Much of the time, people don't believe those promises just because they haven't heard them. I want to back up to Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him if they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And here's what he's saying. They can't believe if they can't hear. You got to hear it first. And I'm telling you, I've seen this over and over in the body of Christ, that if healing is never preached, people don't believe for it. I mean, just as a rule, you know, there's always going to be some who are actually reading the Bible for themselves, but I'm just saying, as a rule, if healing is never preached, how can they hear and how can they believe if it's not preached? It's got to be preached. It's got to be taught. But every time we hear it, it gives us an opportunity to believe. It doesn't guarantee that we will, because, and here it is, it's up to us to choose to believe. Faith is not a feeling. It's not something that just comes over you. When you hear the word of God, you have the choice to believe. Let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't tell you to do things that you can't do. And when he said to the disciples, have faith in God, he wasn't telling them to do something that they didn't have control over or power to do. See, some people, religious people, want to say, oh, well, you know, either you have faith or you don't. It just comes on you. What kind of game is that? Jesus is telling us to have faith, but it's not even up to us. He tells us to love one another, but it's not up to us. Of course it's up to us, and he doesn't tell us to do anything that we don't have the free will to choose to do. And when you hear the word, you got to choose to believe it. You got to make up your mind. I believe that. I'm going to take God at his word. Think about the children of Israel when God spoke to them and told them to go into the promised land. There were 10 spies that came back with a bad report. Only Joshua and Caleb chose to believe God. And the people listened to the 10 who gave a bad report. See, you got to choose which report you're going to believe. You got to choose what you're going to believe, whether you're going to take God at his word or you're going to just look at the circumstances and listen to the bad reports. But I want you to understand this. How can you have more faith? Listen, you need to fill up your mind and your heart with the word of God. The more of God's word that you're putting in. You see, I said it before, but we're so saturated in this culture with fear and doubt and unbelief. And listen, religious teaching that actually undermines people's faith. Listen to me now. In this world we're living in, one of the worst things that keeps people from being able to believe is garbage that they've been taught in the past. It is the reasoning of man. Well, you know, it should. Why would it be this way? Why this and why that? Let me tell you something. You just need to get to the place where you just take God at his word. Simple. How can you have more faith? Don't complicate it. Just believe. Just believe. It's a choice. See, when the Bible is preached about salvation and forgiveness of sins, people, that's what it is to be a believer. You choose to believe that. When the Bible is preached about Jehovah Rapha, our healer, you choose whether or not you want to believe that. You choose whether or not you believe that by his stripes we were healed. It's a choice. You just decide. I believe that. You choose whether or not, when he it says that he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. You decide if you believe that God is a provider or if he's changed and doesn't do that anymore. Or like Paul in Philippians 4:19, you say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, you got to decide you believe the Bible. This is how you get more faith. You just decide you're going to believe the word of God. Now, if you're struggling You say, well, I'm having a hard time believing. Then start saturating yourself with the Word of God. I told you, you can't put your faith, you can't base your faith on fantasy or wishful thinking. You need to know what the Bible says. You need to fill yourself. You're struggling in a certain area. You need to fill up with the Word of God so that that Word is coming out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and you're full of the promises of God. Or we can just play this little religious game that so many in America are and sit back and say, why doesn't God do something? How can we see miracles happen in our life? What does it take? Well, maybe if we would just be really good. I mean, what if we were just like super religious? You know, this is what a lot of people do when they're having a really bad time in their life and you know, the devil has just wreaked havoc in their life. They okay, God, I'm going to be good. You know, they start trying to make deals with God. Let's make a deal. Okay, God, I'm going to be good. I'm going to go to church for like at least 3 Sundays in a row. I'm gonna be really good, Lord. I'm not gonna say any cuss words this week. I'm not even gonna yell at my kids. I'm gonna be really good, God, because you know I need something here, God. So I'm gonna be really good. That's religious garbage. This is what the Bible says. In the NIV, it's so clear. Galatians 3:5. Another one. Mark it down, underline it. Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law? Because you're good? Because you're doing what you think is right? And you're, you know, I'm trying to please the Lord by doing what I think is right. Listen, I'm not telling you to disobey God, but I just want you to understand, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. How do these miracles happen? Is it because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? You hear the Word of God, whether you read it on your own or you heard it on the radio or you heard it preached here. I'm telling you, you hear the Word of God and you believed. That's how the miracles come. You hear the Word of God and you believe. Miracles come that way. It's amazing how we always want to, we say it's all about faith, and yet we always want to turn it back into works. I'm telling you, we just need to believe more. All of the miracles that Jesus did, He never ever one time said to anybody, well, you know what, you've been good, and I just think that you should be rewarded for that. So for your goodness, I'm going to do this for you. Never. Nobody. And there was never anybody who came to Him and said, well, I know you're asking me to heal your demon-possessed child, but I got to tell you, you know, you're just not really that good of a person, you know? I mean, why would I do that for you? I mean, look at your life. You're a mess. Why would I heal your kid? It never happened. No, it was this, because you had faith. That was it. I don't want you to misunderstand the word I'm preaching this morning, because we're going to get to in later messages, we're going to talk about how important it is to obey God. That's part of our faith. It's part of when you have faith that you obey God. But you need to understand this, that God is not moving and working, doing miracles in our life just because we're good. No, He does that because we believe. That's what it takes, is for us to believe His word. Believe in His goodness, not our own. So the word comes. We hear the word. And Jesus tells a parable of the sower to illustrate to us what happens when people hear the word. He said that some of it falls on a beaten path, and the birds of the air come down and they ate it up. He said that these are those who hear the word of God, and they don't do anything with it. It just lays there. They don't receive it. And you know what? It doesn't take Satan very long at all to come along and eat up that seed. The birds of the air come along and it's just gone. See, some people, they don't receive it because that's not what I've been taught before. The word never gets in. No faith comes. They don't believe. Some people don't receive it because they didn't like the vessel it came through. There's all kinds of reasons why people won't receive the word. But when they don't receive it, then it doesn't have any impact in their life. In fact, this is what Luke gives us some insight about this. In Luke chapter 8, verse 12, he tells us this. He says, those by the wayside are those who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See, that word that's just laying there, the enemy comes along and he snatches it away so they won't believe. So important that we believe. But you got to decide to believe. Some seed fell on rocky soil. The next verse says, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in the time of temptation, they fall away. In other words, they hear the word, they hear some promise from God, and they say, oh, that's good. Oh, that's for me. That's good. But the first time that trouble comes, maybe as so often happens, we start believing God and things don't get better. They go from bad to worse, and they give up. Who believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Some, the seed is mixed with weeds. And when it grows up, the weeds choke it out so that it produces no fruit in their life. There's a lot of people that know some of the Bible. The problem is their mind and their heart is so full of junk. So full of trash seed from the media, from the influence of carnal people, whether they are Christian or not, carnal people, from the religion and traditions of men that have been taught, and all of that trash seed chokes out the word of God. So that it never comes to fruition in their life. The last kind of soil that Jesus talked about was those who have a good and noble heart. They receive the word of God. They retain it. They cherish it. They don't let go of it. They keep it. They hang on to it. See, they're believing God until it brings forth its fruit in their life. So how can you have more faith? You just got to believe the word of God and keep on believing it. You know, when we encourage one another, we can strengthen each other's faith. And oh, how we need to do that, how we need to testify. I don't know about you, but sometimes it really helps me when somebody tells me what God has done for them. And I'm telling you, we need to do that more. We need to share with one another the blessings, the miracles that God is doing in our generation. People need to hear it. Psalms 145 and 4 says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. So we got to be doing that. It helps to build the faith of other people and encourage their faith when they're hearing so many negative things all of the time. Another way that we can build our faith is that we just learn to use our faith even in the smallest things. And as you use your faith, then your faith grows. See, it might be difficult to believe God to heal cancer, but you just start believing God to heal a headache. Amen. You believe God for one thing, and you know that he does move and he does answer prayer, and then you can believe him for something greater. Another way that will help increase your faith and encourage your faith is just to begin to praise the Lord. Because when you praise God, let me give you an example. When you're praising him as your healer, God becomes bigger. You're magnifying the Lord as you praise him, and your sickness, your problems become smaller. So as you're praising God, your faith grows stronger. Another way that you can keep your faith strong and moving in the right direction is keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, fix your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, you got to focus on Jesus. Don't focus on your circumstances. Remember when Peter got out of the boat, he's still the only one besides Jesus that ever walked on water, at least in the scripture. I don't know, maybe some of you have done it. I don't know, but in scripture, he's the only one besides Jesus that ever did it. So don't put him down too much. But Peter, when he gets out of the boat and he begins to walk on the water, you see, he was looking at Jesus, but then he got his eyes, the Bible says, on the wind and the waves. And when he saw the wind and the waves, he began to sink. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. He cries out to Jesus. In Matthew 14, 31, Jesus says, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? He got his eyes off of Jesus and on the circumstances. And I know that when you are going through a hard time, I know it's so hard to keep your eyes on Jesus. You want to, you know, you start looking at your bank account. You start looking at the economy. You start looking at the terrible things going on in our world. And it's amazing how in our day, this technology can be such a blessing, oh, but it can be such a curse too, to know every evil, terrible thing that Satan is doing around the world. I'm telling you, you got to get your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Keep your eyes focused on him and don't allow the enemy to distract you. Here's the simplicity of faith. Just believe what he says. Just believe what he says. A young Jewish girl, a virgin, not sinless, not perfect, certainly not deity, has an angel appear to her. And he gives her a word from the Lord that she is going to have a child, a son. She says, how can this be since I don't even know a man? I've never even been with a man. How can this happen? He tells her that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her. But she's going to give birth to the Son of God. Now, I don't know what you think of that story, but, you know, we look back on it and we say, yeah, that's the Christmas story. That's cool. That's great. Can you imagine what it was like for her to be told that she was going to become pregnant without ever being with a man? Why is it that sometimes God chooses someone? Was it because she was so good? No. I don't care what religion tells you. She was not chosen because she was so perfect. No, she believed. Here's what the Bible says about Mary, Luke 1:45. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. See, she said, be it unto me according to your word. She believed the things that were told her from the Lord. I want to encourage you, just believe what God says. Just believe. When God gives you a word, just start believing it from day one. Just decide that you're going to believe. Whatever the Lord puts in your heart, listen, just believe. If God puts in your heart and tells you that you're going to start a business and you're going to do this, or if you're going to be involved in this ministry, whatever God tells you, you start believing it right then. Don't wait until you see it. That's not faith. That doesn't glorify God. It doesn't please God. But believe whatever God says to you. One last story I want to remind you of, and I'm going to wrap up for real this time. Listen, Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, his little girl is very, very sick. He asked Jesus to come and to heal her. And on the way, they get this report. The servants come from his household and they say, "Your little girl is already dead." And Jesus gives this simple message to this man who has just heard the worst news you could ever have. Only believe. Another translation words it this way. Just believe. That's all. Just believe. Faith believes. I want you to stand with me. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it brings faith. I just pray, Father, that this morning that the faith in your people will rise to a new level. Lord, that we will go out of this place stronger. Lord, in greater victory, experiencing greater blessings, expecting greater miracles. God, seeing you move and work in our day and our time, that you might be glorified, that you might be lifted up. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. As we close this morning, and I'm going to let the congregation be dismissed, but I want our prayer partners to go ahead and come. And if you are believing God and you want somebody to pray with you, maybe you're like the man who said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." He was struggling. I want to tell you, God can help you with your unbelief if you're that sincere. If you're that humble before him that you'd ask him for his help, just confess it to him. Say, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." He can do that. He did it for that man, and he can do it for you. That's what the Word of God says. There's another promise that you can stand on. If he did it for him, he can do it for you. Listen, whatever your prayer need might be this morning, I just encourage you to come and let somebody believe God together with you. But come in faith. That's what works. Amen. Amen. So we dismiss. If you have a prayer need, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Lord bless you.